We were going into overtime, and I just like told everybody on my bench, like, I'm the most dangerous man in Fort Myers.
Now everybody from the 313, put your motherfucking hands up and follow me. Everybody from the 313, put your motherfucking hands up. Look, look.
Folks, no intro this week. We're just ripping out two of our interviews. We got Cam Johnson and we got Luke Johnson. First, we're going to start off with our good buddy, Young Stung, reporting live from Adirondack. Jay Swish down in Florida this week. So no pre-show, folks, but as we always do, we're going to roll it in with an intro here. So without further ado, now introducing from the Hellcat capital of the world and the second most famous white rapper to come out of 8 Mile. This fellow was once quoted saying, I'm the most dangerous man in Fort Myers, baby. Two-time Kelly Cup champ and MVP. Folks, he's like DJ Kelly. All he do is win, baby. Live from Adirondack, our boy and true character of the game, number 33, Cam Young Stung Boy Johnson. Cammer, thanks for joining us on the road, baby. How you doing?
Let's go.
What an intro. Wow. Thank you for having me. I'm fired up. I've been watching the show a long time, so I'm excited to finally get on here.
Yeah, we got a longtime listener, first time caller, and I listened to you when you went back on the has-beens about a year and a half ago or whatever. I was like, oh my God, this guy is all time. He just lets it fly. Good. He makes glove saves. He's all over the place, and he's just the most dangerous man in Florida, not only in Florida, but in Fort Myers. So, Cameron, before we get going here, and you're live, obviously in a mid-playoff run, you're up in Adirondack, the Glen Falls area. I just got to ask you, fella, like, you still got that key to the whole city, right, down there in Fort Myers? I mean, you are the man down there, baby.
Yeah, I still got the key to the city. The folks down there, they definitely have a good time with me. We've had some good teams over the past few years, so had a lot of success down there. Everybody loves winners, as you guys know, so I've been getting some good love down there, having a great time. Mm-hmm.
Chicks fuck winners. They do, Cameron. What's that one bar? Hey, what's that one bar that you always shout out, like the Tiki Bar or something like that? They got like a, yeah, you got your drink there.
Delani Kai.
Okay.
Legendary place. Shout out Delani Kai. It's funny, like my first, I've been in Florida now for 5 years, but my first couple years, we'd go there all the time. I'm like, dude, I got to like meet the people that own this place or whatever. Like, we got to have some hookups in here, because we'd be doing like our rookie party there. And, the place is just unbelievable. It's a little shithole, hole in the wall, like no judgment zone. So had a lot of blackout days there. The sun humbles you in Florida. I learned that lesson the hard way a few times there. So, owe a lot to that place. A lot of good memories, a lot of great times with the boys. So, put my time in there. And, now every time we go there, we're treated like kings.
Yeah, that sun will definitely humble you. It comes right on your chin. Next thing you know, you're 10 deep. But before we get into just a playoff run and how you guys are doing, obviously chasing your third straight championship, which is pretty crazy and cool with you spearheading that, being the backstopper there. But who were you telling a couple of years ago when you were up in the National League? I forget what it was, but it was one of the funniest stories ever. You're like, I played in all three, fellas. This one's my favorite, when you were playing in the coast again. You're like, played in all three, boys.
I was played in all three.
Played in all three, fella. I've been on the side of the bird.
Yeah, it was cool. No, it was the COVID year. I started the year in Florida. The ECHL was starting before all the other leagues. So our team, we were actually tricking a wagon down in Florida. We had, I think, like four guys that ended up playing for Nashville were on our team at the start of the year. So we had an unbelievable team. I ended up signing with Columbus like a month into the season, and I went straight from the coast to the NHL. So it was pretty eye-opening experience for me, going from our 10 to freaking 13 hour bus rides to private jets everywhere, filet, freaking, lobster tails on the plane. So I was enjoying it. I remember, my first couple weekends when we'd be busting to the bird or whatever, and I'd see all the guys just loading the bags on there. I'd be sending Snapchats to the boys like, you crazy if you think I'm touching one of those bags. So Yeah. I was having a lot of fun with it. But yeah, even the guys up in the NHL, like, I'm sure they were getting, you know, enjoyment out of seeing how much fun I was having with the National League. So it was a cool experience for me. Got to spend the whole year in the NHL and really live the lifestyle.
Yeah, that was funny. I remember you sending me a Snapchat. I think you were in Patty Lane's Lambo just taking it out, driving it like you stole it.
Patty gave me the keys. Patty gave me the keys. I'm sorry. Are you sure about it? Yeah. No, it was funny too. His Lambo he had when we got him that year, we got him from Winnipeg, and I think he got it shipped down there, but his Lambo still had Winnipeg Jets plates. It was a yellow Lambo SUV with Winnipeg Jets plates. So I'm like, dude, you can't drive anywhere without anybody knowing who you are.
No,
pretty
kidding.
Recognizable car.
It's like Ricky Bobby with the Fig Newton sponsorship on the windshield. Everyone knows who you are at this point, right? You got the yellow Lambo in Columbus. Everyone in Columbus is driving a Jeep Grand Cherokee, fella. You got the old Lambo, that yellow.
He's got the Lambo. There's 4 inches of snow on the ground.
Think about that guy driving around Winnipeg in that thing.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Right? I don't know how he did it.
Everyone else is driving a Buick Grand or a Pontiac Grand Prix or something. But, yeah. Cameron, before we – let's get into just the run right now, my friend. You're live from Adirondack. That's Glen Falls. You're in the third round of playoffs. Just take us through the first two rounds, how the team is feeling. Obviously, you kicking well. I saw that save the other night, too, going just stretch Armstrong across the crease, fella. Holy fuck. That's vintage CJ there. Just flashing leather.
Yeah, vintage. No, we're in trying to go for our third straight here. We got a great group of guys. We got the team to do it. I always tell everybody, like, the South is the hardest division in my opinion in the ECHL. But playing in the coast, a lot of guys want to be down south. There's great weather, and all the barns down there are pretty nice. There's not really any, you know, besides a couple that aren't great. But I mean, you're in the South. You're, you know, playing golf every day. It's 80 degrees. You're going to the rink in flip-flops and board shorts. So you can't beat that aspect of it. The lifestyle is unreal. So we've had some really good teams down here the past few years. And fortunate enough, we won the past 2 years. And then this year, our team was kind of up and down throughout the season. And our GM, we have a full-time GM. Craig Brush is his name. But we got to be the only team in the coast that has a full-time GM. Like, he comes on the road with us, and, you know, he's in the war room with the coaches duking it out. So he's very involved in the team. And, you know, that's what I always tell guys when they come in here. Like, it's not a country club. You're not just going to come in here and chill in Florida. Like, you got to come in here. You still got to work. We still got to be good. Or if you're not good, like, he's going to ship guys out of here and get guys in here. So he made some good moves at the end of the year. We picked up, you know, a few nice pieces right before playoffs. And then we needed to win like our last six games to enable to lock us into playoffs, to stay in the hunt. The South division was crazy. It was like, you could, you know, lose one weekend, go from second place to sixth place. So, stressful times, but had to win the last six games in order to stay in the playoff run, and took care of business. And then, you know, first series we ran into Jacksonville, and they've kind of been a thorn in our ass the whole year. I think they were like, you know, regular season, they were like 9-1 or something against us. So, you know, they had a commanding lead on us, but
I was surprised to see you guys win that series, Cameron. I won't lie.
Yeah, I know a few people were, but even like my billet dad from Fargo, he watches all of our games, and he messaged me after game seven. He's like, I'll be honest with you. I wrote you guys off. I didn't think you guys had it. And I just texted him back like, that's a bummer. You know, that's too bad. You can't doubt Young Hung. Right. So
the old Geno Smith, they wrote you, but you ain't right back.
But yeah, we ended up going seven games with them, and they had a 3-1 series on us, or 3-1 series lead too on us. So I know that one stung them, and those guys too. Like, we've ended their season now the past 3 years, and the past 2 years they've watched the championship banner go up. They've been our home opener in the Hertz Arena. So it's tough sledding for them, and they have like the same core group of guys that we kind of have had here. Like, this year is the first year we really don't. I played with like the same six or seven guys my first 4 years, and then, you know, a couple guys had kids and retired and whatnot, moved on. So this is like the first year we don't have like our legit like core of guys that kind of built what we have going on here. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's almost like NODAC, like it's rinse and repeat. Like, you know, we don't really have any down years. It's, you know, get new guys in there. So, we're in the middle of our run right now. We got a strong team. We're in the conference finals and we're looking to make a little bit more noise this year.
What do you think it is about that place, Cameron? Cause I noticed you kind of had your core group gone as well. And I was surprised to see you guys have another good season. And obviously you're making a deep run in the playoffs. Like, is it the culture or is it just because the boys are just they're a little more positive. They're a little more happy because you're living in Fort Myers and you've obviously got some pretty good fans too.
Yeah. We get good crowds every night, especially now we're pretty much selling out every night. But yeah, we got a great culture around here. I literally relate it to UND in a lot of ways. Like when I talk to a lot of people, I say it's like, you know, very, very similar feel. Like all the boys, we all love each other down here. Like when we go out on go nights, it's not just like, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys. We got freaking 20 guys out. Maybe one or two guys are missing, and it's because they got to call their old ladies at home and they're fucking going to meet us wherever we're going. So we got a great group of guys down here, great culture. Like our coach, he was kind of like my first couple. It's funny, my first couple of years to how he is now. Like he had so many good years in the ECHL and just could never break through and win. And the first year we won, we kind of were like reckless. Like we were just getting hammered all the time on the road. Like we'd show up for practice on the road, our whole team would be hung over. Our coach would be like, you know, fucking pulling his hair out. Like what, like what's going on? Do I need to bag you guys? And our captain would be like, no, like fuck off. We're good to go. Like boys just wanted to get together and have some
Johnny Mack.
Yeah. Johnny Mack, all time beauty, literally all time beauty. He used to just like tell Ralph, if Ralphie was like, Ralphie's our coach's name here, but if he was, you know, trying to get on us or trying to control us, like he'd go right in there. Like, no, you're not doing this. Like, you know, we need to have these nights. We need to get together. Like yada, yada. It's what it takes to win. So we've kind of molded him into the coach that he is now too. He's much more relaxed, like way better understanding of, you know, like some guys, they're just, you just got to let them go. You know, you got to let them go get banged up one night, be a little hungover or whatever. So he's, he understands there's that, you know, that work-life balance. And, you know, we've kind of got it dialed in now. So, yeah, we got a great thing going down here.
Helps when you win a couple mugs too. You know what I mean? You got Johnny Mack at the helm. You got the MVP we're talking to, the Kelly Cup. And you're tonight out in Charleston, you know, hey, honey, I'm going to bed. Yeah, it's an easy night. I think we're going to go on Netflix, maybe watch some Suits, hang that thing up. Now it's an airplane mode and I'm going full tilt full time. Right? We're running around.
Charleston, that's like freaking bridal party. What's the girls' parties called?
Yeah,
bachelorette party. Yeah, like freaking Bachelorette Party USA.
So yeah, I think they have a university down there called Trim State University, TFU, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
It sounds right.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a nice little honeymoon. The math adds up. Yeah. Cameron, I wanted to get into you just in terms of your mindset, man, just getting a little something more serious, I guess. You've always had such a good mindset. Even when you were a backup at UND, you were kind of just patiently waiting in the wings. You're playing behind a guy like Zane McIntyre, who was an elder statesman at the time. Then you ultimately got your chance. You win the mug. Like you've always been a winner, but you've always, I think, had such a good mindset no matter what league you were playing in. And I just wanted to get kind of peel that back a little bit and take it a step further of, what ultimately do you think you've because you've always had such just a, you know, you just kind of roll with the punches and you're just even keel guy and you don't let any of the distractions or negativity really get to you. So what's like something you accredit to how you were raised or something you've kind of just always had? Because you're always such a positive guy. Even when you're down 10K in the casino, you think you're going to be making that back and somehow walk out with 30. And a lot of times you do. Like in just everything in life, you're so positive. So what do you attest that to?
Yeah, it's just, you know, like the no quit mindset. And, you know, I've always just looked at it, like, especially in like big games, like those are the best opportunities for you to shine. So like, even going back to when I was like growing up, I remember in youth, like whenever we'd get to like the districts or the state tournaments, whatever, like I always was just like dialed and locked into those games. So I don't know if it's just, you know, like the clutch gene, some people say you either have it or you don't. Like, I would probably give some of that credit to me being so even keeled and not really getting too high, not really getting too low. But yeah, I've always just had this like kill or be killed mindset. So I know, like, for my first year in UND, like, having Zane McIntyre as a partner was really, like, great for my career, too, because I was so immature going into there. And, like, I really didn't have any idea, like, how good I was at the time. It was, like, my come up, I was playing double A, and then, you know, my double A team, we won nationals, and then we all split up. So it was, like, I almost just, like, didn't have a team to play for. So then I started skating with Little Caesars. Ended up making Little Caesars, and then after that season, it was like I got drafted in the NA. I got invited to like 10 USHL camps, so it was almost like, shit, like, I guess I might be able to do something here with hockey. So just like every time I had an opportunity, like, I was just able to, I don't even know, like, lock in. It was just like the fight or flight, like, you know, kind of you got one opportunity, go out there and kick. And I would never really like get too nervous with the big moments, you know, like a lot of times you'll see people buckle under pressure or whatever. Like, I was always just like so fired up to get those opportunities. Yeah. And then obviously just seeing how Zeno operated on a day to day and, you know, seeing what he did, it was really, I think, huge for my career. Cause then I was able to kind of take some of the things that he did. And then that sophomore year, we kind of hit the ground running. So I was really blessed with an unbelievable team in front of me. And then that year was huge. We freaking won it all that year. So it was like, that just like boosted my confidence to the moon. And I've just kind of taken that mindset with me everywhere I've gone since.
Yeah. I mean, even just playing with you, your freshman year, you coming in, and I mean, you were just always such a hilarious character. I always like gravitated to you. I've always had, like, you know, good relationships, especially being a defenseman, both of us, Ozzo, with goalies. But some of those games that you started, a couple of those games that year when Zeno, you know, played majority of the games, but a lot of the times Zeno and a lot of goalies are more serious, right? They're like a starting pitcher. Don't talk to me during or after the game even sometimes. And those starts I remember you were banging beats. You were coming up to me like a Saturday night, like, who we knocking tonight? It's like, we got to go win this game right now. Just like so loose and so confident. You got young hung. Yeah. You know? So it's just like,
you've always this guy might actually be hung in the net.
Yeah. Like, you've always just been so loose, and I love that about you, because it just instills, I think, a lot of confidence, at least for me as a defenseman, in my goalie.
Yeah.
Fuck, if this guy's just loose, like, I think he's saving everything. Even if he doesn't save everything, he thinks he's saving everything. So that actually has my back. I can make a fuck up, and I know that you got me back there. So that's just it's so funny how you operate like that. But Cameron, one thing we do have to get into with our UND days is, well, you like to get in the studio. And folks, for people that don't know, Cam Johnson he can lay the bars. Like, he's, you know, I'm not sure if he's a battle rapper, but he definitely he's a lyrical genius, one would say, for a
battle tested.
But you just remember those days where you go over to like the frat and hang out with a guy that we know, Marshy Marsh, and you go lay down a beat like Sigma Nu. But the one song that was just all time was Sioux Boys. And every Saturday night after a win at the Pita Pit, I would have you playing that song every other song. And remember the upperclassmen when you're so pissed off?
Like, they'd be Catherine, so mad.
Like Patton and Gorder. They'd be like,
turn this shit off.
Cameron, did you put this on again? He's like, Schmaltzy told me to. I'm like, maybe bang that shit.
Like, Schmaltzy, you asshole. I'd get fined every week in court. Be like, fucking heard Sioux Boys six times at the party.
Yeah, we'd just be like in the this polar opposite corners of like the pita pit. We'd both be like standing on a couch or a futon and just rapping it to each other. It was so
cool. I see it. I head to the pit now. It's time to get drunk.
That song was good. It was a bang.
It was, right? It was. And no, that was that whole situation, like how that came about. Me and Jordo were just talking about this, but yeah, I used to. I think it was a Sunday, like every Sunday or every Monday, whatever. I think it was every hung Sunday for like 3 or 4 weeks in a row. I'd pick a senior out and I'd play a little instrumental on my computer, and I'd formulate, you know, a few bars, and then I ended up recording it and send it in our group chat. And I remember I'd have you all the time texting me like, yo, who you got to roast Mark Mac this week, or, you know, you got to roast this guy. So I'd end up picking one guy, and then I met this guy, Marshy Marsh, just, I don't even know how I met him, if I had a class with him or whatever. He knew somebody that knew somebody, whatever. So we ended up getting introduced, and he ended up like being an artist. Like, he had a mic and he had this whole setup in his dorm. And like, I just ended up there by chance too. And I was like, you know, my freaking eyes lit up. I couldn't believe this guy had a setup in his dorm. So I was like, dude, whatever. We got to talking, and then yeah, one thing led to another. I think I met him that night. We went and grabbed a case of beers, and we were like, let's make a track. And yeah, it took like whatever, 4 or 5, 6 hours, 30 beers later, and we had Sue Boys. So, and I remember when I brought it to the team too, like, I didn't tell anybody that I made it. I just plugged my phone into to the aux and hit play. And so everyone's like, dude, like, this is actually pretty good.
I didn't expect it to be that good.
Yeah, when I was like, boys, I wrote a track. Like, I got a track. Everyone's like, shut the hell up. And yeah, ended up Sue Boys. And again, Marshy Marsh, he ended up being like the president of Sig Chi or whatever it was. He was very involved in there. So like, I remember I would show up to frat parties too, and and I'd hear my song playing, and people would like, yeah, Young Hung Boy, be pointing at me, like, yeah, Young Hung Boy. So it was
such a banger too. And to this day, I still have the original file, and I'll send it to you at least twice a year. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. When I'm making my rounds, I'll send it to my brother, I'll send it to you, and I'll send it to another group chat. I'm like, this is still such a banger. You know? It's like unbelievable.
I get the little note either once or twice a year. You'll send it to me like, fuck yeah, yeah, this, what a banger.
I'm like, that song still fucks. It's unbelievable.
Brings me right back.
You were getting in the studio a little bit in Fort Myers, though, a couple of those first years with your boy Brandon Fortunato. What was his name? What was his name? What would he go by? Like
B40?
B40. B40.
Yeah, B40. Brandon Fortunato. He's a character, man. What a beauty he was. But yeah, I think he had a couple songs himself too. Yeah. So We didn't end up collabing. I wanted to get on a track with him, but we never ended up collabing.
How do you even do that stuff, Cameron? Like, is that just a Detroit thing? Like, you automatically learn it growing up in Detroit, or what is it?
Yeah, I think it's just, you got that Detroit stereotype, whatever. People think, oh, you're from Detroit, you can rap. So I never even tried it. I just, like I said, I was just doing those little whatever senior rips that I would do on Sundays, and I'd end up having, a few lines of bars. I'm like, shit, I might be able to do something with this. So
that is that Detroit. That's a Chrysler 300 and a backwood 60, It's just like, let's go. Let's pull that thing up and smoke that Swisher Sweet, let's drop some bars. What studio were you in Fort Myers? Is that just like a random studio you and B40 pulled up to? Or is that like one of the guys' places? Like, where was that?
Yeah, so it was that night we went out in Naples. And Naples, there's a ton of money floating around that place. So we ended up meeting like this group of like three or four chicks and whatever. We were boozing with them the whole night, and then they were going to an after party. So we were like, shit, yeah, we're in. Like, we got nothing better to do. So we ended up pulling up to this guy's house, like, sick neighborhood in Naples. Right when we were pulling, it was just like, Jesus, some of the lives that these people live. But anyways, go in the house. There's like, probably 10 people, 10, 15 people there, make our way around. All of a sudden we come to this room, and there's a mic there, and there's a guy, sitting on there, like, programming a thing. And I remember him and I just like looked at each other, like both of our eyes lit up. There's no way. We're pinned after the bar. All of a sudden we just, come into somebody's house and they got a studio in their house. So yeah, that was another unreal night. We were just sitting around the mic, and the guy would play, whatever instrumental. We take turns going back and forth, spitting on the mic. I don't even know what ended up happening to that track, too. I don't think I ever saw it since that day. But just another, one of those nights where nothing turns into something.
Right. There's nothing better than pulling up to an after party too, and they got the studio there. Like, you got the after shaker, and then you got the studio. That actually happened to me one time in Helsinki, Finland. And it was right when First Class by Jackie Snow Harlow came out. So we had it on there, and I was just mixing it, and I was laying down these, you know, my bars, but no one could understand it because they're all Finnish people. It was all time. I just remember, like, there's nothing better than pulling up to a studio, especially a little crossfaded.
Dude, all time studio at night post bar might be one of the best things going around, just spitting freestyles or whatever. It's so much fun. Underrated.
Even just hanging out in there, you think you're like, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's just a good feel.
It's just a good feel.
It is. Yeah. It's a good feel. You feel, you know, you're part of it and whatever.
You can't really be sober in there, though. Like, it's tough. No, it's kind of scary if you're sober. No, but if you get grease in the wheels, you're like, fuck, this feels nice.
All right. Let's put an instrumental on. I want to get jobs.
100%. You got Mobb Deep Shook ones coming on. You're in there. You really think you're a rapper. You know, you post that on your story, you definitely get some slide ups. You know, like the honey's just hitting you with that. Where you at? You know, like, I'm cooking right now. You know, just over easy. You know,
I'm in the lab. I'm in the lab. Don't worry about it. I'm in the lab.
Cameron, I want to get into just something a little bit more with you. I mean, I've been accustomed to the long bus rides on the bone rattler, as I call it, especially Ozzo as well. What are the boys? I know you flew up on a bird up to Adirondack. You had the old charter bird up there because you guys get taken care of nicely. But when you're on a regular season trip and you're on the bone rattler, what are you doing, you know, leading up to those games? I know on the way back, obviously you can enjoy some pilsners, but are you just swinging around cards? Are you hanging out? What are you doing to pass that time? Because she ain't perfect on the saw. You know?
Oh, God, no. Spent a lot of hours on the bone rattler. But we got a good crew of gamblers here, actually. So we just rip cards the whole – any bus trip we go, like, we'll play cards for, like, freaking 5-10 hours straight. Mm-hmm. And we even, like – we call it the casino. We had the casino open in our room last night. We play Snarps. We play 7-Up. We play Blackjack. So we play a little bit of everything. We'll play Pass the Ace. You guys know what Pass the Ace is?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get, like, the whole team involved and play, you know, a $20 one burn Pass the Ace where, you know, the winner's taking home, like, a $300 pot or whatever. So we play a lot of cards. We got a great, great little group of gamblers. You know, Blackjack, everybody will be the house. We just kind of give everybody a spin. And it's funny too, because, you know, we'll go like, all right, we're going to do one lap around Blackjack. Well, you go around, you got one guy's dash 40, one guy's, you know, plus 40. So it's like, you want to do another spin? He's like, all right, another spin, go around. And, you know, then you got two guys dash 40. So it's funny, like, trying to, you know, get the boys back to even or whatever. You usually end up having one guy loses big, one guy wins big. So, we play a lot of cards. When we're on our way home, we'll enjoy our pilsners. You know, our coach, like I said, he's started to understand it more over the years. Like, our first couple of years, we'd win and we'd freaking have a shake on the bus. He'd be like pulling his hair out, like, "What's going on? Why are you guys doing this? But we got a game in, you know, 3 days." Blah blah blah. But now he kind of gets it, where we take care of business on the weekend. Like, we're turning that thing into a party bus. So. Right. You know, the bus trips aren't too bad, especially in Florida. Like, we really only bus to Jacksonville and Orlando now. Sometimes if we play like Jacksonville and go up to South Carolina, then we'll just bus up there. But if we're just like playing South Carolina, we'll fly into Charleston, or if we're playing like Savannah or Atlanta, we'll usually fly in there, Greenville. So
that's, you know, huge.
We fly pretty much everywhere now, which is really nice, unless we have, you know, the home at home with different, or, you know, road trip, different home barns, we'll stay on the bone rattler. So we've had a couple of those 10 to 12 hour trip homes or whatever that have just kind of turned into a shit show. But yeah, for the most part, we fly everywhere. We got an owner that takes care of us, and obviously we've been winning for the
past. How's the living situation been, Cameron? Like, I know when you start out in the coast, like, you're with a roommate and stuff, but then once you get to be a veteran, especially a guy who's won 2 Kelly Cups, like, they treat you guys pretty fucking good up there. Like, I know when I was in Colorado, like, a lot of the veteran guys had their own spot, like, nice houses. Do they do anything like that for you in Florida? Like, have you kind of moved up the ranks in that sense?
Yeah. I got my own pad in Florida, which is nice. You know, great apartment. Our apartment complex is like a resort. Like there's an unbelievable pool in the middle. You know, they got the weight room. They got TVs out there, cabanas. Like we have, you know, we have like our Super Bowl party out there. We do a bunch of parties out there. So, we have a great setup in the apartments. I got my own place. I've had my own place for the past couple of years. The year of last year, I would have had my own place. I had a roommate, but this guy, he didn't really like his roommate. He was just sleeping on my couch every night. So I was finally like, all right, just move your shit in here. But they take care of the older guys. I got my own place. A couple other guys got their own place. You know, like this year especially, I think we have like 16 apartments in the little complex that we have. And, you know, you think at most really you have like 30 to 32 guys on your roster, and that's like with injuries and stuff. So, you know, they take care of the older guys. A lot of guys only have, you know, maybe one roommate. A couple guys have two roommates. There's some three bedroom apartments in there. So pretty much everybody has like a good setup in there. We have a multi-billion-dollar owner. So, you know, a couple guys still pay their mortgages too. If you can qualify for the certain amount. I think they pay up to like 2,000 or 2,200 is like what the ECHL cuts the teams off at what they'll pay up to. So this summer I'll get a house and, you know, get some land in there and then hopefully get my mortgage. If everything goes as planned, stay in Florida and start getting a mortgage paid by them. So
for sure,
hopefully move into a house this summer.
You're going to run that whole goddamn city. Not that you don't right now, but holy shit, Cam Johnson's going to be painting the town, baby. You got, you know, got the lovely, got the kid on the way. It's going to be awesome. Cameron, I want to ask you, how's the golf game, fella? Do you get to play down there a decent amount? Are you guys hooked up at the courses? I mean, you always get the Jordan swag on in terms of the shoes. You look good. How's the game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my game's pretty good. I'm clocking in at like a 9-10 handicap, which is, you know, bogey golfer pretty much. Yep. But I try and get out as much as I can. Sometimes it's a little bit harder when you're in the thick of the season. You got fucking games all the time. It's like my day off, I just want to sit on my ass. I don't want to go chase the ball around. So I try and get out there as much as I can. We got a group of like probably 10 to 15 guys on this team that enjoy getting out. So it's fun too, in that sense. Like every time I go out, there's like eight of us playing, and you know, those are always the best times. And, you know, we've met a lot of people down specifically. I mean, I've met a ton of people down there. So like everybody in Florida pretty much lives on a golf course. So it's you know, as long as you know, you know, three different golf courses that guys live on, like it's really easy to get out. Like there's, especially now, all the snowbirds are gone, they call them. Like the snowbirds come in for like three months out of the winter, and sometimes it's kind of hard to get out there. They boost all the rates up, so you know, rather than paying like $30 to play, you're paying like $120, and it's kind of like, you know, just because there's all these people here, whatever. But no, it's pretty easy to get out there. I know a ton of people that live on golf courses, and then our owner owns like two or three tracks, so you can get out there for that cheap or, you know, pretty much free. Like a lot of places, you know, I'll know the starter or whatever, and they'll just wave me out, like, go enjoy yourself. So it's pretty easy to get out there, and, you know, there's a ton of sweet tracks. So I played all over down there.
Yeah. Cameron,
golf game's all right. Nothing special, but, bogey golfer. I get it done. I get it done. I have a good time.
Yeah. Good guy to have in your group too. Good vibe.
Cameron, isn't Young Hung about to become Senior Hung? Aren't you going to be a father?
Yeah, I'm going to be a father.
That's crazy. Are you scared? You got to be terrified.
Oh, dude, I was terrified at first. I'm like, what? Just thinking about like, oh, I had all these plans. Like, my whole world's going to get rocked, but. No, I'm excited. Yeah, I got a baby girl on the way. She'll be here like middle of September, I think is her due date, September 14th specifically. So I got a few months left here to enjoy myself. But he's coming quick.
You got to win this Kelly Cup, and then you can ride out a bend, and then, you know, just kind of wake up one day, oh, fuck, I guess I'm a dad now.
You're 2 months later, like, fuck, hey, looks like I got a kiddo to take care of.
I gotta get a custom Everblades jersey with Young Stung on the back. We gotta hook that up somehow. Yeah,
I will. Yeah. I'll send you one.
Yeah, I'll pay for I'll it. Send you yeah. One. Or we can do a Butter Golf Young Stung trade off, whatever it is. I'll pay for that because that'd be all time. I want to rock that thing. That'd be so exciting.
I'm in for both. That would be the only Young Stung jersey out there.
It'd be so thick. Showing up to a live show with Hockey Night Scottsdale, I got the Young Stung on.
Yeah.
Wearing a backward.
Young Stung threes. That's all time.
Dude. That is all time.
One of those.
Are you wearing threes or number one right now?
Threes.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, you're threes. For whatever reason, I was thinking somewhere you were wearing number one in pro. I don't know where it was, but or maybe you
were. No, never number one. I've pretty much been threes my whole pro career. I wore 35 in Adirondack my first year. I actually spent like 2 weeks here, so that was the only time
you got to be kind of a pickle to wear number one as a goalie. Hey, like you're no offense to the number ones out there, but you're kind of a pickle. Hey,
yeah. I've never been a fan of the number one, but I've been blessed everywhere I've gone in pro. I've got the number 33, which is nice.
I like it. Cameron, what's up for today in Glen Falls? You got practice and obviously a game on Friday, game one. That's correct. Of the is that the Eastern Conference Finals then?
Yeah, Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, so we got practice here in a couple hours, and then there's actually we came here earlier this year when it was fucking cold as shit here too, snowing. But came here earlier this year. There's a casino like 20 minutes away. They don't have any like the tables aren't they're whatever automated or whatever.
No dealers.
No dealers. There's no dealers there, but. We all went there and got all fucking banged up last time we were here. And I woke up the next morning with a $400 voucher in my pocket that I forgot to cash in. So I have a $400 voucher to this freaking video casino or whatever. So I think a few of us are going to roadie down there and I'm going to cash that in, maybe try my luck on a few more spins, see if I can't double that. So, not a whole lot on the slate today. Probably a couple pints, I'm sure, while we're at the felt there, but nothing too crazy. Game one tomorrow. Going to make sure we get a good meal and us get home, get some rest and, be ready for the tilt tomorrow. But we got game one tomorrow, game two on Saturday, and then we're right on the bird heading back to Florida. We'll be in our bed Saturday night. So you can't really beat that, but
no, you can't. But a day like today, I practiced two Canada Cup, maybe a couple 2-on-1.
Oh, yeah,
boys, just shoot it. Let me feel it. I'll get down in that DV. I'll I need 10 minutes out here, coach. 10 to 12. Yeah. That's all we need.
Boys had some pints last night. Just a light sweat is all we're looking for. Nothing too crazy, nothing out of the ordinary,
right? We're pros here, right? In and out, boys. Little dynamic warm up, get in there and let's circle up, talk about game one, and we'll get out of here. We'll get over to the felt and have a few and fire up again.
So that's the plan.
Oh, that's good shit. Ozzo, you got anything else for Cammer?
No, that was all I had. Thanks for coming on, Cammer. It's fucking always great to see you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on, boys. Always great to shoot it with you.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you coming on, especially live from the road, teed up with you. And good luck, brother. We're obviously pulling for you over here three-time on the way, MVP champ. So, folks, that was two-time ECHL champion and MVP of the playoffs, Cam Young Stung Boy Johnson. CJ, thanks for coming on, brother. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, boys. Thanks for having me on. Yep. Good show.
Johnson pressuring, and the puck comes in behind the Minnesota goal. Cole leaves it there for Johnson. He sidesteps Rantanen. Plays ahead to Carson Soucy. He feeds Rau. Rau moving in. Back to Johnson. He scores! First in the NHL for Luke Johnson.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to Live in 5, episode 38. Jay Swish playing a road game this week. Ozzo, I'm going to freestyle this one for KHL champion this past year, friend of the show, Luke Larry Johnson. So, folks, without further ado, now introducing from the south side of Grand Forks, North Dakota. He punches in bunches. He's lean. He's mean. He's not in between. NCAA college hockey champion. Folks, that's 2016 if you're asking for the North Dakota Fighting Sioux. And most recently, KHL champion, Gargan Cup champ, number 27, as I know him, Luke the Bear Johnson. Larry, how you doing, my friend? Thanks for popping by. You made it back from the motherland. It's good to see your mug and your chin again. First off, how we doing, my friend?
Good, fellas. Long-time listener, so appreciate you guys having me on. So,
I was going to say, can you – sometimes I'm looking, Larry, and I'm looking at – especially when we do the Chicago Bulls intro, we plug in that song, the Sirius song back in the day with MJ, and it always comes up. I'll get the email. It says this song, for whatever reason, is banned in Russia. So could you listen to the boys live in five over in Russia, or was that something, you know, you could get around? Because it always comes up. I don't know why. It's always like flagged in Russia, like this song can't be played. So could you listen to the boys over there or not?
Yeah, for sure. Like Spotify worked over there, but like there's a lot of like sanctions over there. So like you'd have to like download that VPN or whatever.
Yeah.
You could watch like Netflix, but then like certain streaming services would like pick it up, so you couldn't watch that. So I don't know, like I wasn't able to watch like sports over there, or like the only thing I was able to watch was like UFC, but
yeah,
That was
crazy. There's got to be a way around that somehow, but then it's probably illegal. And then do you want to do something illegal and Brittany Griner yourself in Russia?
Yeah, that's kind of what my thought process was too. Like, I didn't want to do anything, you know, illegal over there, but I was able to listen to you guys, so that killed a lot of time over there. So
that is huge. Yeah, I was curious because I know some guys, not that this is you, Larry, but some guys would be like, yeah, I couldn't even watch Johnny Sims' game film over there. You know, you got the old whatever, you know, Red Tube, or those guys are pulling up over there. They're a little lonely, but that's sick that you could listen to the boys at Live in Five. Now, Larry, let's get into it right away here. Obviously, reporting live here from Mini in your place, but you spent this past year playing in the KHL. Your team ended up winning the KHL. Just take us through the whole year. I mean, you were a big part of that team, you know, especially snapping it back in the dot, my friend. You were clicking at about 60% in playoffs, a very big piece to your team in Magnesidorf, I believe, or however the fuck I pronounce that. But just take us through the year and kind of how it, you know, unfolded. Did you have a wagon of a team all year? Did you guys get hot a little bit later? Because I was following along a decent chunk of the year, and it seemed like you guys were pretty stable at the top for the majority of the year.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, originally, like, last summer, I was trying to stay over here for at least, like, another year or two, and then, like, it was, like, late July, I had nothing, so I just figured, you know, let's see what overseas had to offer, and Magnitogorsk came in with, like, a really good offer that I just couldn't pass up, so I just figured, why not, and but yeah, I got there, and like basically like the whole year we were like first in our conference, so we were like, I mean, just like, you know how it is, like when you're first all year, like you're just you're confident going into every game, like, so like we had a really good team, obviously, like good coach, and like that organization has just been like, they've always been like one of the top teams in that league, so but you never know how it's going to work out in the playoffs. And then, playoff time, we just, kept it going, and, you know, just, it was a fun run for sure. So, definitely a good experience, and almost like the team aspect, like kind of felt like our team back at UND, like we were always, you know, top of the league, and, always, you know, winning and get that confidence, that swagger. So it was awesome. So
Larry, whenever you're on a team like that, obviously, like the locker room's one of the best parts because you're all just vibing together. You're winning games. Now, you know what it's like being on a team like that in North America where you could talk to everyone. I can imagine you couldn't really, you know, have conversations with your teammates, even coaches, because a lot of Russians don't speak English. Were you able, was it a different feel there where you're like, are these guys arguing? Do they actually like each other? Like, I can't really tell. And then, you know, there has to be a point later on in the season when you're kind of used to each other. You know, you're speaking English. They might be speaking Russian, but somehow you guys kind of know what you're saying.
I mean, I don't know if you ever really knew what anyone was saying. I remember like the first few months, it was just like, So like our goalie coach, he was like, he spoke English. He was from Slovenia. He, so he would like translate for us, but, after a while, like, you're just like, what the hell is going on? Like, I have no clue, like, what anyone is saying. Like, there's probably a handful of guys like you could have a conversation with, but other than that, like, you just have no clue what's being said. Like, even on the bench, like, during the game, like, I remember, like, the first few months, like, our coach spoke no English, so, like, he'd call out the lines. And even still, I, like, don't even know, like, what he was saying, but, like, I think he would call out, like, by the color of the line. So, like, I remember the first few games, like, I'd be on a line and he would call out my line and I would have no clue. And I would just be like sitting on the bench. And we'd have like four guys on the ice. Like I missed like a shift or whatever. So it's just like, you just kind of got to figure it out on your own. And definitely like took a while to get used to, but again, like you just kind of get used to everything. And then you kind of figure it out on your own. But
I just, all those videos I saw, especially Bear, when you get the player of the game would be so funny because all the boys would be looking around. They'd probably be saying something about how well you played or what you brought to the night. And then all of a sudden, just be like, you just like stand up, you look around, you like dap the guy up and take the player of the game thing. I'm like, oh my God. You know what I mean? You just kind of realize, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, so when these guys, these Russian guys that don't really speak English, Bear, like, how are you really even communicating with them? I mean, I'm sure it's similar to when a Russian player comes into a locker room in North America, but now you're a little bit outmanned or outnumbered. So are you just kind of bonding over like, fella, maybe slide me one of those Russian Siberias or, you know, we can have a chew together. But we're not going to really talk. Like, how is it kind of that way? And are you going to some of your line mates and trying to explain things? Or are you basically just kind of running it on the fly and just kind of reading off each other, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's like a handful of guys that you could have a conversation with and, you know, they would like translate or something if like, you know, something needs to be said or whatever. But for the most part, like there's guys on the team that I wouldn't even like talk to really because they couldn't speak like of English. And you just kind of vibe and I don't know, kind of figure it out. I don't know how to explain it, but figure it out and.
Any of those boys, are they going Sergei Zubov style, still smoking darts in the shower in between periods, or is that kind of past its time? And maybe not even the coaches are doing that, you know? I just picture like just the boys just hammering darts for whatever reason.
No, but the trainers, that's for sure. They the trainers are always out like intermission smoking darts, and that was pretty funny. And then, I think like obviously you hear the stories of. Like on Chicklets and but back in the day, I think those days kind of changed, but I think there's still a little bit, that old school Russian, mentality that you see and, pretty funny to see. So
Barry, I wanted to ask you, you've played in the NHL, you've played in the AHL, now the KHL as well. When you're playing in some of these big time games, especially the playoffs, I mean, you guys fucking won the whole league. You played against CSK Moscow throughout the year, Kazan, a lot of these big teams that have a lot of good Russian players as well as imports. How would you compare the KHL in terms of stacking up against the AHL, the NHL? Like, I know it's probably obviously a little bit different style of play, but it's a fucking good league, no?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously nothing compares to the NHL. Like, I mean, you get kind of the best of both worlds. Like, even like it's hard to compare, like in my eyes, like it's hard to compare like KHL to the AHL. Like they're just two like completely different styles. Like, like the KHL, obviously like way more skill over here. You know, less physical. Like there'd be some nights where like, for me, like I like kind of like that physicality. Like I like to play that style and like,
except if it's Kovalchuk.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how about that Kovalchuk? Hey, that's a goddamn refrigerator there, Bear.
Oh my God. I saw him last second. He just blew me up. He's still, I don't know how old he is, but holy shit.
He's like 40.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's just like, it's just so different. Like there'd be some nights where I wouldn't even like get hit. I wouldn't throw a hit. And I'd be like wondering like, what the hell is like, what am I doing out here? And then, so it's definitely different than the American League, like good league, like You know, it's more of a hard-nosed game and, you know, still a lot of skill, but definitely, like, way more skill over here. Like, I feel like there's guys, like, felt like every other game there's a guy trying to do that Michigan move. Like, it was just, like, that, like, became normal. Mm-hmm. Almost. Like, you see that and you're like, oh, nice. Like, but,
yeah,
it was so it's hard to, like, compare the two leagues, I guess.
Yeah. But, it's so funny, too, in the K, the guys that rock 99. Like, they're wearing Wayno's number. How funny is that? There's a guy, like, almost on every team that's rocking 99. It's so filth. Yeah.
I didn't know that, like, coming in, but I saw that. I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing wearing 99? And then you see, like, guys wearing 69. And, like from what I've heard, like, that's kind of like an honor. Or, like, they're, like, honoring something. I don't know. Like, it's just so different over here. Like, guys just, like,
yeah,
buckets. But
there's a who's that I forget who he plays for now, but he was a D-man. He used to play for Moscow Dynamo. He's number 99. His last name's like Sergeyev. I'm not sure what team he's on now, but he's absolutely filth.
Yeah, he's good. He played on Lokomotiv, so we played them.
Yes.
When he's pretty silky out there. He's a good player. So
that's what I wanted to ask you, Bear. Like, who is one guy you think you played against this year that has never played maybe a significant amount of time in the NHL or even the AHL, and you're just like, Jesus, if this guy wanted to go make five bananas a year in the show, like, he could. Like, they're just like, who's, like, one of those sneaky Russians, or maybe he's even on your team. Like, this guy's nasty, but there's no way you're getting him for any amount of money to go overseas and play in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys. I mean, it's tough to kind of know who they are, though. Like, I don't know their names, really. Like,
right.
But the one guy I really, this Nikishin guy, he, don't know his first name, plays in St. Petersburg. Like, I think he's a draft pick of Carolina, maybe.
Okay.
He's a young guy, but he's, like, I think he's had some opportunities to go over to Carolina, but he just stayed over here. But he's won D-man of the year a couple years in a row. There's one guy, Shibanov or something, and Chelyabinsk Tractor. He's a smaller skilled guy, but I mean, just some of the guys you see over here, like, they're so skilled, and like, they could probably have at least a chance to play in the NHL.
Yeah.
Choose to stay over here because, one, they're at home, and two, they make so much money over here. So, like, there's a lot of guys
that one guy, Bear, is absolutely nasty. He used to play in Carolina's system. They never really gave him a sniff. He played two games up with the Hurricanes, but he was always in Charlotte. Sergei Tolchinsky, a little left-hander.
Oh, my God. Didn't he play for London?
I think he played in London and Sault Ste. Marie. He was a 95 or 96, like one of your guys' age. I think Ozzo, I think he was a 95.
Yeah.
He was so dirty, like so small, no defense. Like he would barely even cross over his own blue line. But when he got the pill, just so
nasty.
So nasty with it.
Yeah. That's the thing with like some of these guys. Like he plays on St. Petersburg too. But like some of these guys, they just like don't even like go in the defensive zone. Like just don't even play defense. But I mean,
why would you when you're making 150 million ruble? You know, I don't need to play D. You know, I can still get the designer Gucci jumper that they all want. You know, I don't need anything else, right?
Yeah, once they get the puck, though, it's pretty fun to watch. So, there's a lot of guys like that. And it's been fun to see. So,
Larry, you've always been really good at faceoffs and taking draws, even over in North America. But this year, it looked like you kind of made your money in the faceoff dot, especially in the playoffs. Like, are guys taking draws differently over there, or are they just not as intense as it is in North America? I mean, that's one of the biggest parts of hockey over here. We were always taught, like, you got to win the draws, you know, and centers work at it a lot. I mean, in the playoffs, your faceoff percentage was like, I think it was 5% better than the second best guy in the league. So did you change anything up there, or was it just a little easier?
No, I didn't change anything really. It's just, I don't think like guys really take it as serious as like North America, but, like there's a rule here. I don't know if it's like that over in North America, but like, so like, say like there's a, a face-off in the offensive zone, like you can choose like which side you want it.
Oh yeah.
So that made a big difference, but like no matter what, like it could be.
So you're taking one on your back end every time if you can.
Yeah. So like puck could just go out of play like randomly, and you could like say I went on the ice, I could choose which side it is. So I mean that made a big difference. And then like my coach, like towards the end of the year, he would just throw me out there for like any D zone draw or whatever, even offensive zone draw. So I mean, I think that's kind of where those numbers come from. But yeah, I didn't really change much. It just kind of just worked out like that. So
you're not going the old Olli Jokinen where you're flipping it around on your backhand. You know, you're taking the old backhand draw on your forehand style. Some of those guys are doing now.
Yeah, I've seen. I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, just like pick your side and hey fella, go snap it back in my backhand here, crispy. But yeah, no, that's good stuff. That's hilarious. Larry, I wanted to ask you just in terms of, you know, you played over there for a year, you got acclimated with the system, different things, you know, the lifestyle. Like what was one barn you were like walking into? You're like, wow, like this is National League. Was it one of the ones in Moscow? Was it St. Petersburg? Where was a game where you were like, man, this is pretty cool?
So the one in Omsk, they just built it last year.
Oh yeah.
I can't remember how much it seats, but that one's like pretty comparable to like any National League ring. And they get great fans. Like most of the teams here, like they get great fans. Like they pretty close to like sell it every night. That team in St. Petersburg, they just built a brand new rink. Like, I'm pretty sure it's like the biggest rink in the world. Like, it's like 23,000 or something. So, and they get great fans too. So, but that one in Omsk is pretty cool. And like even like our team too. Like, I mean, we set like 7,000, I think, and like we pack it every night. So, like the fans here are great. And like I would almost compare it to almost like European soccer or something, like
just
that kind of vibe. So
they're kind of singing the whole time you're playing and stuff.
Yeah, better than the old San Jose Barracuda rink where you get
dressed like a seat knight. You know what I mean? It's your agent, your ex-girlfriend in town, and that's about it. You know, you're trying to get her back because you're down in the jungle and your agent's there, and you're telling them, you know, fuck fella, can you get me somewhere else here? You know, can I, this is the best we could do.
I like hockey, but not this fucking
right
much.
You know what I mean? Like can we get out of the youth rink here, my friend? You know,
so those games are tough to get up for. So
100%. Larry, I wanted to ask you, so you win the championship. Man, what was the postseason bender like? What was the night after winning? Did you guys ride it out a 3 or 4 day, or was it kind of just like mista, get me out of here, get me back stateside? I've been there for a while now, fellas. I love you, but you know, make sure that bonus check clears, and I'll be back on a bird here via Dubai into you know Minneapolis.
It was a little bit of both. It wasn't as crazy as you might think it was. Like, like after. You know, we're sitting in the locker room, you know, celebrating. We got, you know, family and all the wives and all that there, and sit there for a few hours. And then, so we're in like Yaroslav, which is Moscow time zone. And so then we fly back, which is like 2.5 hour flight, 3 hours, whatever. And, you know, we're obviously partying on the plane and all that and having a good time. And then, you know, we probably land in Magnitogorsk probably, I don't know, 8 in the morning. And I'm thinking like, nice, like I'm pretty tuned up at this point. Like I can go back and, you know, get at least a couple hours of sleep and rally and then get to the airport. And they got like a big stage and hundreds of people there. And so we're, you know, we get off the plane, we're celebrating with all the fans. And that lasts probably, you know, an hour or so. And, you know, I'm like, nice, like I can go back and get a couple hours of sleep and rally. And then all of a sudden we have to go to the rink and we're partying with like, we have like a breakfast party with like, I don't know if they're like sponsors or like season ticket holders. I don't know, but we're partying like having a breakfast party with all the fans, like, and I'm, at this point, I'm just like, I'm just, you know, stunned.
Oh, yeah. Lonely-eyed.
Yeah, lonely. Yeah, but it was a good time, and stay there for a couple hours, and then I stumbled out of there, but no, it was pretty relaxed, honestly. Like, we were, and then we had, like, a couple dinners. We had a sauna day full, you know, everyone hanging out. There's, like, a sauna resort kind of spa thing in Magnitogorsk that we went to, just kind of hanging out and having a good time, and then I threw the towel and I booked my flight and got out of there. So, but
it'd be tough to stick around if you can't talk to anyone. I can imagine those Russian dudes are probably still bending a little bit. Those guys on the team that won, they're probably still around town, you know, walking around. I mean, yeah, I fucking would be.
Larry is just like, I'll do the, you know, I'll take my wrench out. We have some sauna beers and boys, I'm getting out of here after that. You know what I mean? Thank you for the year. You know, let's get this thing wrapped up. Larry, did you get to meet, did Putin shake your hand at all after winning? Like, was he in the building? Like, or does Vladdy only root for his squad, you know, in terms of CSKA and he's got St. Petersburg. Those are kind of his two squads. Or was he in the building at all? Did you see that guy buzzing around the KHL, the old Continental this year?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, it would have been, nice to meet him. So like our owner is like, so like in Magnitogorsk, we have like, I'm pretty sure it's like one of the biggest steel factories in the world. And like, I guess our owner is pretty tight with them or something. So there was like a clip where, like they were at some convention, like both like our owner and him, and, they're at some convention, and I guess like Putin like gave us a shout out or something, but other than that, no, I didn't get to meet him. So
he's tied up in that war over there, I think.
Yeah, there's something going on there.
He's probably got some bigger fish to fry.
Get that power play together, boys. Yeah, we're working on it. Larry, I wanted to ask you, like, in terms of, you know, you what's the travel like over there when you're going time zone to time zone? And then a two-part, when you see another guy in warm-ups that maybe like my good buddy Alex Broadhurst, who was playing, you know, way out goddamn near North Korea on a squad out there, like, what's it like when you can see, you know, another North American warm-ups? And also just that the first part of it is like, are those some games where you're kind of just, you're almost in like Sleepy Joe mode, where you're just like, you know, you're a little fuzzy up top because you're going over so many different time zones?
Yeah, like the travel is crazy because it's just like the time zones. Like there's so many different time zones in Russia, and so like most of our flights were like 2-3 hours, which, you know, isn't bad. But it's just the time zones. Like Moscow, we play in Moscow quite a bit, and like I said, that's like, so that's 2 hours behind us, and then like a 3 hour flight or whatever. So like play a game in Moscow and then you're coming back home and it's like you get home at 6 a.m. and then you play every other day there. So kind of just like take some time to get used to. And then we're like Brody's playing out in Khabarovsk, Russia, which is like pretty close to like, I don't know, the Pacific Ocean. That's we play them in playoffs, and so that's a 7 hour flight, five hour time change, 5 hours ahead. So we played them in playoffs, and so we would leave at like 12 o'clock p.m. Magnitogorsk time, and we get there at like, it was like 4 a.m. like their time. We have to play like a 7 o'clock game that night.
Basically
treat like a morning game. Like you wake up at whatever, and you just go to the game. Like it was crazy. So
yeah, because you can't really get, I mean, you're not getting acclimated with that time zone in that short of time. You know, it's like 4 a.m but it's really where you're at, it's 5 hours behind that. It's like, fella, like, you know, I'm not really that tired right now. That's crazy. And then play a playoff game.
I couldn't imagine playing there all year and having to do that like the whole year. Like, I don't know how you guys do it, but probably just get used to it and
just kind of survive and hang on. Yeah, survive in advance, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the name of the game.
Larry, we've heard about, I don't know if that's true, if you saw any yourself, but I've heard some of those Russian models are pretty good looking over there. You probably got some of the ugliest people in the world and then some of the best. Did you spot any of those hot models over there, or are they, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some good looking women here. It's, I think, more like in Moscow and St. Petersburg and some of those cities. But I mean, just like going through Instagram, like trying to, you know, find them and message them, like some of them like don't even speak English. So like, I would like
Google translate it.
Like, you'd have to like, but they'd be speaking in Russian. They'd be like typing in Russian and I'd be English. So you have to like copy paste, like, you know, translate it. And like when you translate it over there, like, it's just like, I don't know. It sounds weird. Like when it translates. So it's just like, I don't know, having a conversation, especially through Instagram's a little tough. But yeah, for sure, there's definitely some very good looking women.
You got the old explore page pulled up like it's Elite Prospects. You're going through it and you're like, fuck, what can I plug into Google Translate right now that might get a bite here? I'm flying in to Moscow in a couple of days here, you know. We go for some sushi or something, grab you a steak, what do you want to do? You know, that's so funny. I've always wanted to go over to Moscow just to see it. I mean just in terms of the elite talent over there, and especially in a city like Moscow. Like, Blair, did you get any nights out there in Moscow where you can go for dinner and hang out, or is it kind of just mostly doing up and backs from there? Because you're going back to, you know, the glorified, no offense, like a Crookston of Russia, right, where you're going back to the old steel plant a little bit in terms of kind of going back to a smaller city versus, you know, the big bright lights of Moscow.
Yeah, no, we unfortunately never really got to experience Moscow. Like we were there – like the first road trip of the year, we were there maybe a couple nights, but kind of like mostly like in and out of cities. Like we'd fly in like late, and then we'd play the next day and then we're out right away after the game. So we never really got to experience Moscow or like St. Petersburg. So, yeah.
You'd think the coach would let you stay an extra night if you guys had a big win or something. Like, hey, boys, we're in Moscow. Go enjoy a few.
Yeah, no, he never really let us do that. So
I suppose you couldn't ask him either.
No, you probably couldn't. You know, you're pulling up the explore page again and get the translator out.
Hey, goalie coach, come here. Yeah. Ask head coach this.
Yeah.
Google translate out. But the only time we did that was in Kazakhstan. We had our rookie party there, but that was the only time we really got to stay over in some of these cities, which is unfortunate because there's not a lot of times you get to go out in some of those cities. So
are they, like, when you go over there, are they considering you a rookie, even though you've played NHL games and played a long time? Like, you're like a rookie, so you're doing the rookie stuff. It's like, fella, I'm an 8-year pro, you know? Yeah. I played the best league in the world here, boys, you know. Let's check the game film.
I didn't even know that until like 20 minutes before we're about to do this dinner, and so apparently they treat it like if it's the first year on the team, so like any guy that's new to the team, they do it like that.
Okay.
So not like, yeah, but yeah, that was interesting. So,
Larry, is the squad you played for, is that the team Malkin grew up snapping it for?
Yeah. So he's from there.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he still comes back there in the summer. But yeah, there's been a lot of guys that are from there. And like I said, small town, kind of almost like a Grand Forks feel to it a little bit. So,
right.
But.
What do you got going for the summer? I mean, we know as your buddies, Larry, in terms of what you'll be doing, but like, well, you got any fun stuff on the slate? Obviously, we talked to Nick Schmaltz and my good friend and our good friend over here, Matt Harder, the strength coach of the Minnesota Wild, who you know dearly as well. But, you know, we were touching on the golf trip, different things like that. What else you got? Because, fella, if you're going back to Russia, this might be a quick summer. All of a sudden, July 4th hits, you're like, fuck, I'm back on the bird, you know? So what are you going to do in terms of, obviously, you know, you'd be skating and training, but you got anything else on the books in terms of, you know, some fun shit after a long, long year? I know you bought yourself a nice new rig there, fella, the old Ford Raptor. That's a nice little juicy rig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, not much planned. I'm going fishing here up at Lake of the Woods in about a week. But
oh, yeah.
Other, Other than that, I look forward to the golf trips. Obviously, we got the UND golf trip. That's always fun. And got the Kitchy Cup the week after. And
I was going to say, you have to defend your title, my friend. You and Tomer. You and the Soul Train.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I haven't, well, I played one round in the last 9 months. That's about it. But other than that, no, I just kind of lay low. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be probably a shorter summer than usual. So I'm going to have to figure some out. I might get like a boat or something, kind of how we did like Dewey's 30th, just kind of celebrate the win and celebrate whoever wins the Kitchy Cup too. So if you're in town, Jordo, we'll try.
Yeah, we'll do a little.
I know I got to be there for that. And I also, Blair, I'm thinking about bringing back the Players Ball Yacht Cruise. So if you're in town for that, now I'm going to do it if I do it in mini, right? So I'm down here in Florida this week. I'm down in West Palm shooting some stuff for Hockey Night in Scottsdale, our off-season kind of Florida Gone Wild series that the folks will be able to see just after the NHL season ends. But I'm down here, fella. I'm going to a gator farm. We were touching base a little bit before this interview, and I'm going to be building, you know, my gator skin boots, my belt. I might go see a fur guy while I'm down here. You know what I mean? So I really got to get dialed in for the ball if it's coming back, right? Remember the ball we had that was all time?
That was unbelievable. Yeah, that was incredible. Yeah.
Just the outfits in general were just you know, absurd. Yeah.
Larry, when you get back from Russia, like, I know the food's not the same over there. What's the first stop? Like, you got to be like craving some of the American restaurants over here. Like, where'd you go first?
So I flew into Fargo, and I had my parents bring down the pepper for me. That was the first.
Oh, yes.
Unreal.
And then just kind of whatever after that. Like, I hadn't had sushi in 9 months. Like, I hadn't had, like, Mexican food. Like,
oh, I'm just Chipper. Like, Chipper.
Yeah, Chipper was, one of the first stops. So I was all over the board with food, and now I'm, like, looking in the mirror. I'm like, holy fuck, got to get in the gym or something.
So, starting to feel the barrel a little bit, eh? Fucking bush lights and bush heavy.
Yeah.
What were you mucking over there? Just like, you're a meat and potatoes guy as is. You can get away with anything, Bear. But I know you appreciate good food. So like, what were you? Were you just grilling up steaks? Like, how was the food over there? Was it just not perfect? Like, what the fuck was a pregame meal on the road? Like, what were you mucking?
The food actually wasn't bad. It was just like, you can only have like certain types of food. Like I said, I didn't have any sushi over there or Mexican, but so me and this other import, the Swedish guy, we would go to this restaurant, like the steakhouse in Magnitogorsk. We would go there every single night, like order the same shit. Like, it was just so repetitive, but it was like, it was pretty good though. Like, good steak and everything, but like, other than that, like, pre-game meals and stuff and the meals we got at the rink were pretty good, but some of the meat that you're eating, you just don't know what it is. And
right.
But still pretty good. So, but yeah, it's different.
Dog's not too bad, eh?
I was going to say that cat outside the locker room is not bad either, especially when you deep fry. Like, not bad.
Yeah. Kentucky fried cat?
Kentucky. Yeah. AFC, baby. AFC.
Don't know what you're eating, but you just can't go with it.
Larry, do they...
Yeah,
I know. Like, did they have McDonald's there, right? They have, the Russian people love KFC. Like, did they have any fast food joints in where you were living in Magnitogorsk, or was it just
are they the same or are they different? Spot?
Yeah, like, did they have a McDick's, McRanch, or no?
Yeah, but it's not the same. Well, first, like, the sanctions and everything. So
yeah, that's what I thought.
Like, even like Starbucks, like, they had to, like, it's like all the same stuff, but like, they had to just change the name. So like, in like, Starbucks is like called Stars Coffee or whatever. But
yes,
it's all like pretty similar, but McDonald's is definitely not the same over there. And like, for like all their cheeseburgers over there, they put like barbecue sauce on it and shit. Like, ooh. I don't know. Yeah. It's not the same. And like, even like Coca-Cola products, like, those are hard to find over there. Like, they have their own brand and shit. Like, just not the same. So, but like everything over there, you just kind of get used to it.
And yeah,
keep on keeping on, baby. Yeah, how many imports? It's less imports now too, right, Bear? It's like four up team, maybe?
Last year it was three. And then they're changing it now. So next year it's going to be 5, which is huge. Like that's huge. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Like if you get a good group of imports, like,
oh yeah,
everything, you know, you can manage your way. And
if you're with 5 beauties imported, I mean, it'd actually be unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's all you need. Like, I don't know. I don't need much. Just give me a good group of guys and a couple of good restaurants and that's it. So.
Yeah, yeah, bear, you can survive anything. That's why you're the goddamn bear, you know. You're going to be a grizzly, right?
You might as well be a bear.
Right. If you're going to be a grizzly, you might as well be a Luke Johnson, because that's what you are.
But
Ozzo, you got anything else for the bear? Obviously, we're going to see him. Well, you'll probably see him maybe this weekend, but myself, I'm looking forward to that golf trip. I think we're actually bringing the clubs this year. That's what I've heard. You know, I'm not sure. I know the guys with gals are definitely bringing them.
They'll be in the garage for sure. I know that.
Yeah, I've heard we're playing. I'm not sure if anything's booked. I did book a tee time on Friday for the guys coming in early, so maybe we'll play that day. I'm still on the fence. So, like, I got the tee times booked. I'm not scared just to soak the fee and head down to Broadway if it's looking pretty good down there too. You know.
Yeah, that sounds fun, but.
I never forget the year in Vegas, Larry, when you, Dewey, and I forget who it was.
Tomer. Dang.
Everyone went off the box, and you guys were the last group. And would you end up playing like one hole and just went right to the right to the clubhouse bar and then went home?
We battled out 9, and then we
battled out 9.
Ubered back.
Did you scramble it out too? You scrambled 9. You didn't even play your own nugget.
3-man scramble for 9 holes, and then we called.
Oh my god, that is all time. That is so good. 3-man scramble.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
We had a bus back too, and they took an Uber for like 150.
Yeah, like 45 minutes.
Get me out of here.
Drop the chin of the desert. Like, just get me out of here. You know, like, what are we doing here? Those mornings are so funny too when we book those early tee times. Like, even last year in South Carolina, when we booked at like 9 in the morning, it's like, dude, what are we doing? Like, no one wants to go golf. Like, everyone's like, I got an Uber here. Anyone want to get in? Nobody moves. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'll catch the next one. Like, guys, we need 6 guys in this XL. Oh, yeah. Like, whoever wants, we can take it. Like,
everyone's just hoping to be in the last one that doesn't come.
Like, they don't have to I might walk. Dude, it's 4 miles. Yeah, I know.
We always think this is the year that we're going to tone it down, and then it just never.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. No, but the good thing about this year is we finally figured it out where we're not flying in on Wednesday, because we always used to just blow our load Wednesday, Thursday, and by the time we got to the weekend, no one made it out. Like, Saturday was our cool down day. It's like the best day of the week. You know, like, we just wasted it all at the Chandelier Bar on a Wednesday and spent all our money, and we can't even make it to the pool on Saturday because we don't have any juice left. Like, how stupid was that?
The Wednesday
so overshoot. Good, though.
Classic good, though. Overshoot, man. It's unbelievable. God.
Yeah,
I can't wait. I mean, I think I'm gonna get in. I'm gonna get in a little early. I might get in on Thursday and just to scout out the scene, boys. You know, make sure
everything's okay.
Get like dialed that. In and make sure everything's set. But I can't wait for that, Lair. This will make no sense to the people listening, but we got to give a shout out to the one and only. Every time I talk to you, the Gar Line at North Dakota. You know, just this group of individuals. So every Monday, I'll just give it a little context. Every Monday. We used to, if we swept on the weekend, Dave Hackstall would set up either Can-Am or we'd play 3-on-3. And you'd be able to pick your teams where, actually it was 4-on-4. So you'd be able to pick your teams where you play half ice. So there'd be 4 or 5 teams of 4. And you go out there and you play like a little mini series where it's just half ice. There's one goalie. You play take back to the blue line and then go in there 4-on-4. So our team was a non-negotiable for 2 years. Everyone else would draft a team that week, but the Gar Line would stay intact. So that team was the Cigar Line because it was always all the boys that like to have cigars after a Saturday night win together on the patio of the pita pit. And that was me, Luke Johnson, Wade, Marvin Murphy. The 2 years he was there, he was on the Gar Line. Paul Ledoux and Uncle Rico Sanderson. So us 5 assholes was non-negotiable every week. It was just the gray jerseys were coming out. It was so funny that we wore the gray jerseys because the gray ash and also the gray line on our team at the time was like the 5th or 6th
aces.
So all the black aces. So it was the Gar Line aces. It was all time. Oh man.
We had the nameplates on too.
Put the nameplates on. The
name bars on them. And we keep them on there for, you know, especially if we knew we were going to sweep, you know, we'd keep our name bars on them and just automatically, like, you can't draft any of the Gar Line members because that is our team. It'd be so funny how hard we'd sell it every time we'd score a goal.
And you guys were supposed to be the most hung guys out there, and usually were, but you'd give like the hard-o team, like you'd give them hell out there, like the only team you'd try against, and they get all pissed off.
Yeah, there are some days I probably shouldn't have been on the ice, but I take my way out there.
Yeah. You're definitely tripping over your own shoelaces some day later out there, but you know what? Put you in front of the net, and you can still tip it every now and then if you can see it.
When it dropped, if it needed to. So
yeah,
exactly. Fuck, that was all time, but
yeah,
that's good.
Lair, we appreciate you for stopping by, my friend. I'm gonna have to get you one of these. I'll send you one of these Forks hats. These camel ones, they're juicy. So give me an address after this, and I'll send you boys both one. But thank you for coming on, chatting about the Continental Hockey League. And like I said, my friend, I can't wait to see you. Hopefully you got all that bonus money back and you're just swimming in some Russian rubles right now and taking it in the summer. So thanks again, Luke Johnson, for popping by, baby.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Larry.
Folks, that was Luke Johnson, KHL champion and former UND Sioux.
1, 2, 3 into the 4. 1 pop, 2 pop, 3 pop, 4. 4 pop, 3 pop, 2 pop, 1. Your pop, he's pop, no pop, none.